Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Do I think the whole world's going to come to Christ? I wish they would, but I read Scripture, they're not. You know what I think? I think the best thing to do is for you to say now, God, over this next year, would you allow me to be a difference maker for one person? Just one. God, would you please let me just lead one person, Lord?
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If people were to ask you, what are you trying to do every day to make a difference? What would you say? What are themes that for you are very, very important, no matter what walk of life you carry, that you could, with confidence, step in every day and say, God, I'm going to do your mission today. Acts 13 actually is the launch of the first of four missionary journeys that Paul took. And so it documents in verse 4 and 5 where they went. In verse 6 through 12, they bump into a guy named Bar-Jesus, which was a bad guy. He was a false prophet. He was a Jew. When they departed, they went to Perga. They came to Antioch and Pisidia. This is another Antioch. This is up by where modern-day Turkey is. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, they read the Bible. And then we know from earlier texts, they probably had some singing, that the rulers of the synagogue sent and said, you men and brethren, you've any word of exhortation for the people? And so here's now Paul gets a chance. So Paul stands up and he addresses two groups of people. Verse 16, Paul stood up and he beckoned with his hands. He said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, you give audience. Listen, I've got something to say. And this is where you end up finding those expectations and those requirements that as it was with him, and he was saying, this is what I want to emphasize, I would say to you as well. First of all, you'll find him to make a difference. He exalted God's name. You know what, for you and me today, it's not much different. If we're going to make a difference, as it was with Paul, he exalted God's name. You find in verse 17, he says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers. He chose the Jews. From really verse 17 all the way down to really verse 38, he emphasizes by exalting the very name of God because he knew that God had chosen the Jews, and he begins walking through their history. God was overruling and ruling in all the affairs of man. You know why he gave all that history? To realize there's a point in a place that God's going to use all of man's history, and it culminated, the still point in a turning world was the cross of Christ. And he didn't come just to be the fulfillment of all of prophecy that he did, but he was a justifier for you and me in our sin. If I can lay that, I would also like to emphasize a second theme and a responsibility that you and I both carry, as Paul mentioned in his first message, that's exalting God's name. But secondly, you also know that there's a difference when we've got to exposit God's word. How do we know if God said this? This is why it draws us, as Paul took the preaching and said, I'm going to end up emphasizing all of who God is found in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do it by expositing God's word. I'm going to literally take God's word for what it is and study it and see him for who he is. And notice in the passages, he mentions in verse 23 about of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto us Israel, a savior, mentioning Isaiah. He mentions in Malachi chapter 3, 5, and when John, verse 24, had his first preached before his coming of the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Notice, if you would, about verse 27, he mentions about the prophets and being fulfilled. Verse 33, he uses God's word in this message. Verse 33, God's fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he's raised up Jesus again. It was written in the second Psalm. You can end up finding churches that have a wonderful point of entertainment. But when it comes to saying, you know what, do we take in God's word and try and explain it to people? That's where it's missing. I think that's why for us, we have a deep drive to say, let's take God's word. What does he have to say? In the next 12 months, just a quick overview. When Paul ended up preaching, at the same time, there were other men that were also writing letters to others. And at the end of pulling all the Bible together in the canon of Scripture, there were four particular men that God used to put together what we would call the general epistles. These are letters that were written. Only 10% of the New Testament, but incredibly important when you take the sum and the whole part to that. There were four men that you would know, and these are people that we're going to look at, and the letters they wrote we're going to study over the next 12 months. We're going to look at the life of Jude. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote a book, one postcard. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at Jude, what he had to say about the key words of fighting for faith. We're going to look at James, and he's the one who wrote the letter, the 5-chaptered book, a powerful book on the faith, engaging of faith, and what that means, and looking at 12 marks of a difference maker over these next months to come. These men said the same emphasis, same themes that Paul did. All of these are non-Pauline books. We're going to look at Peter, who mentioned 1 and 2 Peter, 2 books, and the emphasis of pain with a purpose and poison in the pew. You'll end up finding as well John, who wrote 1 and 2 3 John. We're going to look at those books and the book of Revelation. And all of those, actually, particularly John's book and Jude's book, written at a point in which there were many, many people that were not taking God's word and speaking it truthfully. And that's why when you look at Paul, who's preaching, he's emphasizing the Scriptures, the Scriptures, the Scriptures. We're emphasizing, let's take God's word and exposit it. And in addition to that, when I look at Paul, I realize that to make a difference as he did, there had to be an example of God's people. When you look at the Bible, you realize there's so many examples of God's people. And you find the example of Paul and Barnabas as great examples of people that personally spent time with them. Fact is, verse 43, and when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And notice, this is what Paul and Barnabas was speaking to them. They were individually persuading them to continue in the grace of God. They were saying, listen, you keep doing this. You keep going to Scriptures. What does God have to say? When you take the Scriptures as a whole, you realize that your own example can make a difference. Now, if you've got all that, let me give you lastly the fourth theme and responsibility that Paul laid out when you look at his preaching. And again, we're just kind of going over the surface, laying a foundation. But the last fact to be made is to make a difference, as Paul uses his preaching, we must expand God's church. That we must expand God's church. Now, we can't do that, but God does that through us. I want to make sure you know that I understand that. But this is what happened. When he exalted God's name, he exposited God's word and lifted up who his son Jesus Christ was and used Scripture to do that. Drew back in the Old Testament of his day, then you also realize that we're being in a place in their own example that God ended up expanding, and literally there's an explosion of what God was doing. Look at what happens in verse 44. A week later, you know where they're meeting? In church. Now, it's a synagogue, different than a church, but the concept is the same. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What were they doing between the week before and that Sunday or that Saturday, that Shabbat? You know what they were doing? They were going around town. This is awesome. You need to come hear this. There was individual touches and the examples of their lives led them to realize there's something different here. And as they again began preaching, you find in verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and that the word of the Lord was published. It was spread throughout all the region. Now, it's such a simple matter, but for our church, we're responsible. I want to exalt God's name. I want to exposit God's word. We want to have and be an example. In addition to that, we want to be in a place to make a difference that our own church, we don't have to grow. We do have to obey. Do I think the whole world's going to come to Christ? I wish they would, but I read Scripture. They're not. You know what I think? I think the best thing to do is for you to say now, God, over this next year, would you allow me to be a difference maker for one person, one teenager, one lady, one man? Just one. God, would you please let me just lead one person, Lord, and help me to make a difference in their life. Bring them to a place that could help you, help them, disciple, so that in a year from now, they would have a burden to go out and tell somebody else. Now, wouldn't that be something? You see, this is such a simple matter. Because the reality is, by all means, save some. Be in a place to realize, as McLaughlin called it, holy gossip. Or he called it overflow. That's what our witness is. Or as one beggar telling another beggar where they got food. Hey, listen, you're not responsible to save the world. Jesus did. But you're responsible to live a life and his example, that by your life and your lips, people will be drawn to you. You say, can that happen? Absolutely. If we move forward as a church in prayer to say, God, we know that it's all about you. It's your life through my life. It's your energy through my efforts. That God, this is an impossible mission. We can be a force for his glory, not our goodness. And we realize that through all of this, God, you will end up changing lives. I've been challenged by a number of these people, that one of them would be William Carey, about William Carey, who was greatly used of God in the early 1800s, really the father of modern-day missions, sent out from there in England. And he was so burdened for him, he's burdened for his family. His boys would go out and be used in the service of the Lord, and he had two boys, Felix and William, both of them that God had called into ministry. And I don't think that everybody has to be called into ministry, at least full-time work, but we're all called to full-time ministry and ministry of reconciliation. But in this case, William Carey was so burdened about his son, Jabez. And Jabez was going into law, and he was so burdened that God would convert him. So he wrote a letter back to his folks there in London that supported him. And a guy named Dr. Ryan stood up. There was a group of about 2,000 people in this one particular meeting. He read this letter from Dr. Carey. In the letter, he said, it gives him pain because through dutiful, he is unconverted. And at this point, Dr. Ryland began to cry, and he urged the audience to join in a fervent prayer for the conversion of Jabez Carey. Nearly 2,000 joined before the throne of God's grace, and God did wonderfully answer. This article that I found in a book called Baptist History, interesting in this devotional, he says, in the very next mail, William Carey received a letter that told of the conversion of Jabez. His regeneration had synchronized with the United Prayer Meeting that very night. He went on to state that Jabez had been articled to an attorney, but in a short time he became interested in missionary service in the providence of God. An invitation was received by William Carey in January 7th of 1814 to send a missionary to this small country where 20,000 national believers had no missionary to minister to them. Jabez immediately offered himself, and he says, though he was not yet 20 years of age, he crowded his marriage, his ordination, and his farewell into a short time and then left for his new assignment. Now, I don't think that we're all called to do that, but I'm going to tell you what it's reminded me that night, that God answers prayer. Some of you are burdened for your family members, some that aren't saved. You know what? You need to pray, God, would you allow us to be used? Praying, God, would you allow our church to be used to make a difference? As we study God's Word, we're going to continually find the constant theme, to make a difference, you have to be different. I believe God wants to do that. You know he's going to make a difference in your life? By exalting his name. By taking God's word and reading it and understanding it. By being in a place to realize that you can be an example. And it might just be that you can be an example by part of expanding God's church. Who is it that one person you say, God, would you allow me to see a difference in their life by turning them to Christ, turning them to you, and disciple them so that next year there are two of us and not just one.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.